Welcome to Ben Behaving Dadly with me, Ben Hanlon. This is the podcast where I sit down with celebrity parents to try and get their best parenting tips and advice. Here we are. It's episode one. I think before we dive into this episode, let me just quickly tell you how this podcast came about. Last March, I was fairly busy doing some stuff on telly, doing some magic. I was on Dancing on Ice, got to the semi-finals. I was robbed. We won't talk about that, okay? And then lockdown happened, and then we were all made to go and stay indoors. And us parents were 24/7 parenting. And let's be honest, parents, we didn't sign up for that, did we? That was difficult. So I thought we'd create a podcast where I sit down with celebrities who are parents that can share their stories, put a smile on our face, because come on, we do need to smile, and also give us some tips, some advice, some things that they've learned. So we might actually learn something. But I should point out, right, the advice is to be taken with a massive, huge pinch of salt, because, well, they're celebrities, right? I'm not a trained doctor. I got no idea what I'm talking about. So take it with a pinch of salt. I genuinely hope you enjoy this series. So let's get into today's episode. It's with Matt Willis from Busted. He tells us how he gets his kids to go to bed in quite a bonkers and ridiculous way, which if any of you decide to replicate, I'll be shocked, to be honest. I should point out, there are some naughty words in this episode, so if you've got any young ones running around, you might want to pop your headphones in for this. Enjoy it. Here it is, Matt Willis. Today's guest is Matt Willis, who bursted onto our radios and TV screens back in 2002 as one third of the pop punk band Busted. Smash Hits magazine said Busted are going to be bigger than Rick Waller. And they were right. Sorry, Rick. Their album sold millions of copies. In 2006, Matt was crowned King of the Jungle on I'm a Celeb. And he's even turned his hand to theatre. He's done roles in Flashdance, Wicked, Footloose. And in 2015, the original band, Busted, were back together for a massive arena tour. They sold over 100,000 tickets in 1 hour. It's bonkers. And he's also no stranger to a podcast himself, even though we did take a while to set this one up today. Matt presents the very funny When No One's Watching podcast with comedian Matt Richardson. So after this, go and check that out. But today, we're not going to talk about any of that, because more importantly, in 2004, he met his TV presenter and model and soon-to-be wife, Emma Griffiths. They've been married for 8 years. They've got 3 children, Isabel, who's 11, Ace, who's 8, Trix, who's 4. Matt, welcome to the podcast.
Hi. That was mega. I mean, you did pre-warn me it was going to be an intro, but man, that was good. And I think actually it was us who said we're going to be bigger than Rick Waller, not Smash Hits magazine. And they quoted that on the front. Now in 2021, very inappropriate to say something like that.
It won't get printed again, will it? That.
It definitely won't. In fact, thank God that that I don't think there's records of any of those interviews back then, because they were all now, if you look at them in 2021, complete career enders. So I apologise for anything I've said in the past. I have said this on everything I've said. I was very politically incorrect.
But all right, let's start from the beginning, right? You've got 3 kids in your house, right? We're kind of in lockdown. Yes. Again, you're homeschooling. So just talk us through, what's a normal day in the Willis household? Like, what time are you getting up? How's the day panning out? What time do you put them in their cages? That kind of stuff.
I mean, it all depends on work schedules. You know, like, for instance, like, I mean, if I'm doing something and Emma's doing something, we have a nanny who comes in, who is allowed to come in, and she's part of our bubble, and she can come in, and she looks after Trixie now, who is 4. So she now homeschools Trixie. So she wasn't. She's now come in and she's taken over that, because we had 3 kids. There was only 2 of us.
You're and outnumbered.
We were outnumbered. And to be honest, my 11-year-old, I can't do her physics. I can't do her maths. I can't do my 9-year-old's maths. You know, I can't. I'm really very inadequate and very uneducated. You know, so she will now look after the 4-year-old's kind of day-to-day learning, and then me and Emma will flip-flop between the other two when they need us. But our 11-year-old now, the school have kind of really got it quite sussed out that she will now sit there in front of a computer screen for most of the day, being taught. So now my nine-year-old has something called Seesaw. So he's now got two live lessons a day, which are like an hour long, and the rest of the work he's sent and he has to do. So we will, one of us, when the other one isn't working, will help him with his work.
Yeah, yeah. And how are you guys finding it? Are you surviving?
I don't really know. We took up mountain biking.
Did
which
you?
Was a new thing for us. It's been a big thing. We kind of all got bikes, and I've got a roof rack now with I'm now one of those dads with mountain bikes that go on the roof rack. I never thought I'd be one of those people. I love it.
How much research did you do in the roof rack buying?
Oh my good God. And only one specific make would fit my roof. So I did a lot of research. It was quite fun. I quite enjoyed it.
It's bonkers, isn't it? Sometimes you have to stop yourself and go, you probably go, I've performed at arenas, I've been to the Brits, and now I'm spending days looking at roof racks. That's what it boils down to, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah. For instance, over the last 4 days, I've had real bin rage.
Right.
So we have two areas where we put recycling in. One of them gets used more than the other one. The other one doesn't really get used, and it annoys me because I'm like, the other one's bigger. Use that one, put the recycling in that one, stop filling that one up, because I was like, I keep having to go and fill it up. So I was like, right. Anyway, so the bin broke. So I was like, right, great. Now I can just get a bin that is just a bin for bin waste, and we can use the other one, which was meant for the recycling, for the recycling. Trying to find a bin has been a real dilemma for me, which you wouldn't think was that hard. But now most bins come with their own bags that are supplied by a company, which only fit the certain bin. And our bin men won't take white bags. So if you put white bags in the bin, they won't take them. So you've got to fit black bags.
Hold on. Since when? Since when was that a thing?
Literally, I know. So we bought bins. The bin that we have that's just broken. This is so boring. I'm so sorry.
But I'm not sure if this is going to make the edit, Matt.
Yeah. It's been a big part of my life. I'm just expressing my feelings here. They won't take white bags. So I had to find one that would fit black bags. It's been a real nightmare. I spent 4 days on it. I finally found one. It's arriving today. It better bloody work. I tell you that. End of.
There we go.
Can't I just be in a band again? For fuck's sake, please. Someone open the world.
It's all right. You won't normally hear this on other podcasts. So this is, I mean, for good reason. But no. All right. So, Matt, the purpose of this podcast is for you to come on and download some of your tips and tricks that you've learned over the years. I mean, they can be little. They can be tiny, tiny hacks right up to the bigger stuff. So fire away. Have you got anything that springs to mind, Matt?
I've got loads. Well, I've got a few. I've wrote a few down. I mean, the first one that the only piece of advice that anyone ever gave me, which I thought was good, right? Because loads of people give you loads of advice, and until they have your child, it all means fuck all, because your child is your child and completely different to anybody else's child, and you will have different things that will happen. But the best piece of advice I ever had was, whatever it is, it won't last. So if it's good, it won't last. But if it's bad, it won't last. so whatever stage you're going through, like if you're going through sleepless nights, if they're bedwetting, if they're, you know, whatever it is, if it's night, you know, if anything's going on, you know, if it's like, you know, colic, burping, children, all that stuff that was just like these times that seem to have gone on forever, they don't last. And suddenly they're over and they're in the past, you know, and sometimes things go really well and then they fucking come back again, you know. So whatever it is, whatever's going on, it's not forever. You know, children grow and evolve and they grow up into people. You know, so whatever it is, it won't last. If it's good, if it's bad, it won't last.
Very timely as well, isn't it? In this climate.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Yeah. You're so right. Yeah. I've had so many ones of those, you know, like I've had so many times when I've had to just go, it's all right. It won't last. It won't go on. It won't carry on.
So everyone has like those. And I don't want to be negative, but we can look back and smile at it. What have been the times that have like, broken you? You know, when you've gone, that's it, I've had enough of that, I'm done, I can't do it.
I mean, I think, you know, I think like colic with the baby, you know, and that kind of thing was so bad for a while, you know. I mean, like Ace had a really, like our second had a really traumatic time when he was born. He was, he was in hospital for a while and he was in intensive care. And I remember at the time, McBusted was just about to happen, I think. Mm. And so I'd been working in theatre for a while and I had some money in my bank and we kind of had this baby in this private hospital, you know, and we could, and we decided we could afford to do it at the time. So we were going to do it. Mm. So we had Ace in this hospital. Obviously, he had a complicated birth. Things went differently to plan. He ended up in an intensive care unit, and every day that costs a certain amount of money, right? So I would pay that every day, and I was like, if he has one more day in this intensive care unit, I can't afford to pay for it, you know. So there was a moment of crisis of like, wow, like that's a real. And that was the day he came out, you know. So whatever it is, it won't last, you know. So it was like, you know, but I remember that being so, you know, so having that kind of money worry as well, which was a very weird thing to have in the mix of a time when really, you know. The doctors kept on telling me he's absolutely fine. He's just got some like fluid on his lungs, just needs to get that up. That's why all the tubes and wires are in him and he's in this thing. He's absolutely fine. I'm like, well, can we move him from that ward to that ward then, please? Because this one costs lots of money.
He's so hard. He obviously, Emma just given birth. Given birth. But like, you're so tired and exhausted. And that must have been so stressful that trying to make any decision like that, you're already like, half beaten up before you even start, aren't you? It's not, you're not thinking clearly on any of it.
And we had a 3-year-old, and I think you know, and it, you know, I think you know, coming home then, you know, I mean, I know every parent says it, but when we had our first kid and like we came home with Isabel and into a home that we had to move out of because I realized I had been a pretty badly behaved person in this house, which I was now bringing this perfectly pure human into. And everywhere I looked were memories that I didn't want to associate with this perfectly formed human. So we moved pretty quickly out of that place. But I remember coming back with this baby and just thinking, you know, how am I ever going to do this? You know, like how am I ever going to keep this thing alive? Like, I mean, that's all I have to do is keep it alive. But it seems so impossible. Like, so many things can go wrong. You know, like, every time she coughs or blurts up, like you don't even know what's going on or how to clear your throat. You know, like, oh, my God, like, fuck, how am I going to do this? You know, and at the time, you know, like, Emma's career was just kind of like, she just got a job presenting like a news program on Channel 5 and things were starting to kick off for her, you know, as a presenter. And so, so I took a year off and I was the stay at home dad and she went off and did that and then went on to Big Brother's Little Brother. And so I took a year to kind of be the kind of stay-at-home father, which was, you know, the most incredible, beautiful, amazing experience I could have possibly had. I'm so glad that I had it. I chose not to do it with the next one, but I'm very pleased. I'm very pleased that I did do it with the first one, you know, because we talked about it quite a lot. We were like, no, I'm cool with this. I'm cool with this. I want to do this. This will be an amazing experience.
So did you go to like all the baby sensory stuff on your own, all the classes, all the coffees with mums and groups, and you did all that on your own kind of stuff, or did you kind of keep yourself as a little unit?
No, I was fully into everything. Like, I went to every baby class. I was, you know, not the only dad at most of them, but pretty much, you know, I'd say 90% of them, I was the only bloke there with a child, you know. But everyone was really, really friendly at everyone. I loved them all. I loved the classes. I loved this little baby experiencing, you know, monkey music class or whatever it was, or something at the YMCA that they could bounce around and draw and have a tattoo put on their arm with some ink that looked like daddy. You know, she loved it. You know, so it was like, you know, it was a really amazing, beautiful time. But I remember kind of, I remember overstepping my mark by going swimming to the mother and baby swimming class. I turned up to that, and I don't know why, but I felt unwelcome for the first time. I'm not sure. I felt no one talked to me, no looked at me, seemed annoyed that I was there. I'm not sure what happened. Basically, I went to this like you know, to a swimming thing with the babies, and there was you know, mothers with babies of the same age, very young, you know, and maybe they just didn't want a bloke there looking at them in their swimming costumes. I don't know, you know, maybe that's my own head thinking that. That possibly is my own head thinking that. But that was the only time that I felt, I'm not going to come back to this one. But the rest of them, I loved everything about them. And I went to coffees with the mums. They were all great. They gave me loads of advice. They were fantastic. Nice, I loved it.
Right, so second tip, more tips. What else you got for us then, Matt?
Okay, so we do this thing. Obviously, getting my children to go to bed is a problem, right? Kids don't want to go to bed, right? So whatever you do about that, they want to stay up all the time. So very early on, I developed something which is the last one in bed gets, you know, and it'll be something bad, and it. And I'm going to get in trouble for this, but it became the last one in bed gets a bum in the face, you know. So the last one that'll be the last one that's in the bed will get, I'll put my bum on their face, you know.
That's, I think me and my housemates used to do that at university.
yeah, exactly. So look, I've only actually had to do it once. I've only actually had to put my bum in a child's face.
I mean, all the kids once, got pink, you know, eye, but now, apart from that, it was fine.
Exactly. I mean, I'm not so, you know, it's not butt crack. It's just like my bum on their face.
Yeah.
You know, but it'll be so that has become now. I mean, they do not want me to be upstairs and then not be in bed just in case they get the bum in the face. So it will now be, we'll be watching television. I will be doing, or whatever we'll be doing at that time, and I will say, the last one in bed, and they run. They absolutely run. They do, and they have like, they know they have a few minutes, you know, to get themselves into bed, wee, get a glass of water, whatever they need, into bed, or daddy's bums in their face.
Yeah, I mean, some people try and calm their kids before bed, try and really relax them into, you know, sleep, you know, drift into your mattress, and you're just trying to make them terrified. That's it.
Yeah, I think this is part of the problem. You know, that's the thing, isn't it? You know, like I'm also a big bedtime story guy. I read them a story every night, and I'm, although, you know, that's become problematic because they don't want me to read them a story. They want me to make one up. They love it when I make them up, you know. So, and I can make up a story which can go on for weeks, you know. And it became, you know, it's becoming harder and harder the older they get to make them entertaining for an 11-year-old. You know, when they were four, it was a piece of piss. You know, now to keep an 11 and a 9-year-old entertained from something which I'm making up on the spot has become more and more difficult. You know, luckily there's a lot of songs that I can think back to and steal stories from.
And what's your
I've told them a lot of teen movies, you know, that will become that they think of mine, you know.
Yeah.
You know, it was only recently we started watching Karate Kid that they realized I'd told them that. You know, so I've stolen lots of things in the past and passed them off as my own. You know, we had one going on at Christmas, which went on for a really long time. Like it started in the beginning of December and ended like the day after Boxing Day, I think. That was a really long story about
what was that,
me
the Godfather?
Becoming father. Exactly. No, that one, I can't even remember where that went. But it started as like, basically I became Father Christmas. Like Father Christmas had to choose someone to take over his role, and he had chosen me. So me and Isabel, Ace and Trixie then had to move to the North Pole, and we could take people with us to come and live with us and build a new society.
You mean pretty much identical to the film The Santa Claus with Tim Allen? Okay.
Yeah. Yes. Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, we do a mummy monster. That's our one. So.
Oh, right. Okay. What's that?
The mummy. Our thing is getting them upstairs. That's the key. So, like, getting them from downstairs, getting into the bath, because ours are only 3 and 1. And if they don't want to go, the mummy monster, it's basically Bryony just running around the house being a dinosaur, and they run themselves upstairs. That's it. That's it. Done. Simple.
Exactly. I mean, the thing is, a little bit of terror, even if it's fake terror, for some reason seems to work.
Yeah. I mean, she never threatened putting the bum on the face, but I might suggest it. As an adult.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not sure whether or not that's going to come up in therapy, I'm sure, later in life, that my father threatened to put his bum in my face. You know.
I hope our listeners start tweeting going, thanks to Matt Willis, I've been putting the bum on the face.
Yeah. That's okay, right?
Yeah. Okay. If I ever do a book, you know, like some podcasters or parent people do books, that will go as a piece of your advice, your contribution to the parenting world.
Last one in bed gets a bum in the face. Yeah. I mean, but almost every single night we do that. Like, honestly, almost every single night, you know, will be that. Yeah. So.
There we go. Right, next one.
Right, okay, another one. Do you cook?
I do bits.
I do bits as well, right? I've been asked to go on certain like cookery programs, like Celebs Cook This and Master Chef and stuff like that. Yeah. I would say no, because I am not equipped to do that. I can make a bolognese that tastes nice, or something that's slow cooked in a pan that you bosh together, which people will enjoy. But I would no way call myself a good cook. But okay. I hide vegetables and everything, because my kids were notorious for not liking to eat vegetables. You know, so I'm a bit of a nutrition nerd, and I like them to get a mixture of lots of things in their diets. They will not eat them. This is a mistake that I have made. I should have, I've read about this. I've talked to people about this. A lot of my friends are in nutrition. I should have had them eating these things from a very young age, but unfortunately they don't. They just want chocolate, you know? So why would you have broccoli when you can have chocolate? You know, I get it, you know? So, so I hide vegetables and everything. And, you know, the little hand blitzer. Bzzz, yeah. That thing, what's it called? The emulsifier, I think?
Yeah, the thing that makes the soup kind of thing.
Exactly. The little like blade thing. Basically, I will steam or cook lots of vegetables and bzzz them up in that. And I'll stick them in pretty much everything they eat, and they never know.
Okay, give me an example then of how you would hide it in the dish.
They like simple things, like if it's a pesto pasta, for instance, that will have green beans, broccoli, mushrooms, spinach, all kinds of things whizzed in to a pesto. You know, you got to understand it makes it quite thick, so you got to find ways of kind of making that work with olive oil and certain things. But I try to put as much goodness in as possible, because my kids like to eat crap, you know, so they will love to eat chocolate and biscuits and things. Yeah, that's what they want. So to balance that out, I put vegetables in pretty much everything, and I whiz them up and I chuck them in everything.
Well, let's talk about treats, right? Because I once heard, I think it was you or Emma, and this stuck with me, and this must have been, I think I've got to say, this must have been when Emma was on, say, like Heart Radio, just chatting, and it's one of those that has stuck with me. And correct me if I'm wrong, so you obviously, you know better than I do. You take your treats, apparently, in your household. Is it after Christmas or whatever? Or is it after Easter or whenever it is? And you throw them all in the bin. Is this true?
That is called that is sugar-free January, and I am hated for it. My children absolutely despise it. They dread it. They really dislike me for it. But every year, I take the leftover sugar and the things, and I chuck it away. I know that's a bit wasteful, but what I'm wasting really is terrible for anybody to eat. You know, so and most of it's open, you know, and like unsellable or reusable, you know. So I will put it all in a bowl in front of them all, and I'll ceremonially chuck it in the bin, and we'll start sugar-free January.
So let's talk about that, right? That moment. Like, first of all, I'm thinking, well, if I'm your kids, New Year's Eve, I am getting off my head on sugar. Yep. I'm eating as much sugar as my little face can stand. Yep. That'd be one. I'm getting my January fix in one day. But like, do you literally make a deal of it, or do you do it in the night and they wake up and it's gone?
I've done it different ways. I've realised that doing it subtly is better. Them seeing it chucked away one year, I think didn't work out quite how I'd planned. I thought they might be like, okay, bye, you know, like when you bury a goldfish or something, but it wasn't like that at all. It was they were really pissed off. So now I just get rid of it all, you know. So we do sugar-free January. We actually didn't do it this year. I let them know this on New Year's Eve. They didn't know it. They obviously thought sugar-free January was coming up.
They were crying as usual.
They were ready. They just know it's part of our life now. Every January we do sugar-free January. But I said, you know what, guys? Shit's tough, and I didn't say shit. I said, you know, life is difficult enough right now. If you know, a little bit of sugar and a little bit of chocolate is going to brighten up your day right now, I'm not going to take that away from you this year. But next year...
We're going two months.
Yeah, exactly. So it's sugar-free August and July. You know. So we didn't have it this year.
So we do that. We had this conversation last night. So we're trying to be good, and it's rolled over into February. And it's not the same because, I'll be honest, we're weak. We're trying not to drink wine in the week. So Monday to Thursday,
okay.
If we don't have it in the house, if it's not in the house, then we can't drink it. It's as simple as that, right? And last night was like, what was it, Wednesday? And she's like, my McBride goes, can you go out? Just go out and get a bottle of wine. And we have this. And my question is, like, out of you and Emma, who cracks first? Do you get like 15th, 18th into the month and is one of you going, can we go and get some chocolate now? Or are you both pretty rock solid all month?
Emma cracks first every time. Emma cracks. Emma doesn't do it. Just to let you know that. Emma lies. Emma absolutely lies about it. I do it. The kids do it to an extent, apart from their grandparents don't agree with me. So their grandparents give them stuff slyly and think I don't know about it. I know about it, Kath and Steve. I know about it. But Emma doesn't even do it, doesn't even lie to me about it. You know, she just lives her life. The thing is, I don't know what the aim of it was. You know, I was trying to kind of teach them that, you know, some resilience or some like...
you know, in life, things that you like will get taken away from you.
Exactly. What a horrible lesson. What am I doing? I'm going to rethink this.
Should we talk about This Is Us?
Oh, my God. Oh, really? Okay, I've got one more episode left of season one.
For people that haven't seen it, because this is the thing as well, as parents, you know, the kids go to bed and we go, right, it's another night in front of the telly and you've been through everything. And I think a lot of people still haven't discovered This Is Us. So can you describe to them what the TV show This Is Us is about?
First of all, I didn't know anything about this show. I remember that one of the guys that's in it was in a show that I watched years ago called Heroes. And the other girl is Mandy Moore, who was a pop star. You know, so suddenly, but there was a program called This Is Us, which got sent, got told to me by a friend, check this out, because like you, we've seemed to have watched everything. So we're like, right, we're looking for something else. I bought the DVD because we've got a DVD player in our bedroom.
Right, we're going to pause there because this is what alerted me. So you put on your social media a picture of This Is Us on the DVD. And my first thought was, surely Emma and Matt can afford Amazon Prime. Come on.
Oh, no. We're full DVD in bed watchers. To be honest, we've only watched them. We only got a TV and stuff up there like this last year, I think.
Because,
last year, because we just want somewhere else to do something. You know, so we're like, oh, I don't know, let's build a little, you know, get a TV upstairs. You know, so we got that. Yeah. And then we realised that we run into all these kind of different internet problems. So we bought a DVD player.
So go on. So this is us. So yes, describe it.
Okay, so this is us. So this is us is about a family. And basically it's about these three kids with flashbacks to their parents and their life bringing up these three kids. So you see the three kids as adults dealing with life being 36 years old as life as being 36-year-olds, and all completely different people with very different lives. And you bloody love them. And then you go back and you see the parents from the birth of these children and the upbringing they have. And my God, is it good writing. I don't know if it's the same for you, but since having children, I've become very much more open to my emotions. I am now a crier. I wasn't before. I had a bit of a block there. Now I sit in bed, eating biscuits, crying my eyes out every night at This Is Us. That is my life right now.
We're not going to say it because I honestly want everyone to go and listen to watch it. How good is the end of the first episode?
Episode one of This Is Us blew my head apart. And at the end, I was like, oh my God. And it was the best ending of episode one. And I was like, how can they possibly keep this up? And for some reason, they do. And the series has just got better and better. It is a bloody good show. If you are listening to this, I'm not lying. It's brilliant. Go and watch it.
Right. I'll tell you what, right, we've got a few closing kind of questions, right? Simple one. What's your most embarrassing parent moment spring to mind?
I mean, the most embarrassing moment.
Go on.
I can tell you the one that made me go, oh, shit.
Go on.
I was, Trixie, who is our youngest, was probably 5 weeks old, 6 weeks old. The other two were at school. And so Emma was working. I was doing school drop-off. Trixie was an unusually quiet baby, very quiet. So I couldn't find a place to park, school parking, but, you know, so we parked the car, got the kids out, had to drop them off, drop the first one off, drop the second one off, dropping the second child off. I'm talking to another parent. Suddenly, I thought to myself, this is nice. I was like, I'm talking to this parent. I suddenly felt this overwhelming kind of, I don't know, like a different feeling I hadn't felt for a while, which felt stress-free.
No baggage.
Realising that I had left Trixie in the car the entire time, a five-week-old baby in the fucking car seat on her own, and I'd taken the other two to school. And it had been in a casual way, I dropped the other two off at school. I mean, they all go to the same school, luckily. It was one car park. I mean, I legged it. So literally, I was in the middle of a conversation with these two parents and went, oh my God! And I ran. And I mean, I don't think I've even explained to them at all why I've shouted, oh my God, and ran off. I've just realised I haven't explained to them. But then I ran back, checked. She was still asleep. Everything was fine.
Wow.
I wanted to keep that a secret. That was one of those ones that I was like, I am in deep, deep trouble for this. But I couldn't. As soon as Emma came back from work, I went, I've got to tell you something. I did something today.
Did you? Oh, man. Did you do? So we've never done that yet. The forgetting. I mean, it's probably going to happen. And also, you can say, look, I haven't had enough sleep because I was up or whatever. Did you do, when you have to reveal a confession to Emma, right? Do you do the thing where you try and put the, like, play it down and go, oh, you never get this. You never guess. And you try and make it sound lighter than it actually was? Or do you?
No. I mean, oh my God, she would have killed me if I played that down. in any way, shape or form. I mean, I knew I was in shit. And the thing is, I could have got away with it, but it would have eaten me up. Oh. You know, like we have brutal honesty in our marriage. We have to,
yeah.
You know, we have brutal honesty about everything, you know, and I knew I had to own up straight away. So as soon as she walked in, I sat her down and went, I fucked up today. I'm sorry. I'll tell you what it is.
There was
some words said of disappointment.
So, do you know what I love about that? Somebody, a parent of your kid's school, has got a similar story of going, this one day I saw Matt Willis bolting through the car park looking very panicked for no reason.
Yeah.
When things are stressing you out, right? And let's, you know, because let's be honest, none of us have got this figured out and we have good days, bad days. When you're a bit stressed and the kids are, for some reason, you're not on the same wavelength that day, how do you take yourself out of it and get and like reset yourself?
People are going to hate me for this and think I'm a real hippie dickhead, but I have a meditation device. I have a thing called a Sensate at the moment. It's like a little pebble that goes on my chest and I put some headphones on. It plays these noises and this thing vibrates on my chest bone and it stimulates my vagus nerve, which stops my stress response. I do that daily, absolutely daily.
Wow.
And it is changing my, I don't know if I've got a temper because I'm not a violent person, but I'm very quick to respond. I've always, whenever I've let myself down in my life, it's because I've reacted to something too quickly when it was unnecessary, you know. And I try not to do that with my kids because I had that happen to me throughout my childhood, you know, and I really don't want to be that guy. So I try to be, as I say, zen, that's not the word, but I try to be as chill as possible.
For anyone that wants to try it, do you know what it's called?
It's called Sensate. I'm not sponsored by them. I have nothing to do with them. I paid for it. It's a fantastic device. It's really, really, I bloody love it. It really works for me because I find mindfulness and meditation really difficult. It's a bit expensive, I'm not going to lie. The drawback is a couple hundred quid. It's a bit spenny, you know, but like, I mean, I've tried to meditate for years and I can't seem to make anything stick. And I was just looking for something and someone recommended me this. I bought it. It seems to be making a difference to me. So I do that.
Nice one.
Or I go and work out.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, final question, Matt, you ready for the last question? Mm. It's always the same.
Yeah.
If you could go back in time to the day before you became a dad, what advice would you give yourself?
Oh my good God. That is a good question. One, do you know what? Don't waste money on motorbikes. would be one.
What's the most you've ever spent on a motorbike?
I don't want to talk about it. I was a big motorbike fan for many a year, and having kids, you know, and then selling them, you know, like and I don't have any anymore. You know, it's something which you know, when we had our third child, you know, Emma found the motorbikes too much. You know, it was the one thing that was like. It just had to go, and it is now gone from my life. But I bought quite a few motorbikes.
What's been your favourite? What was the one that you were saddest to say bye to?
Oh, do you know what? My Harley. I had a Harley, and it's so cliche, and so, you know, whatever anyone thinks about it, but it was just awesome. I loved it so much. I loved riding it. I loved the feel of it. I loved everything. I really loved it. But I love motorbikes. I do miss them, but you know, I want to be around for my kids. I don't want to die on a motorbike. That's a bit of a risk, isn't it? You know, and maybe it's a risk that's not worth taking. Who knows?
Yeah.
So that would be one piece of advice. There's probably a better one I could think of, but that was the first one that came to my head.
Nice. Well, look, Matt, thank you very, very much, my friend. Thanks for taking the time. That's it. That's the podcast. Done.
Thanks, mate. Thank you so much.
That's
thanks.
Been lovely.
So there we go. Episode one done. I tell you what I liked about that. I think I liked how honest Matt was. You could just tell he didn't really care. He wasn't holding anything back. And that was just great to chat to, really. So if you like this episode and you want to hear more, please give it a subscribe. That would mean a lot. Maybe a review. I'm on socials at Ben Hanlon, so you can DM me. Let me know what you think. I'd love to hear your thoughts about this because it is all new for me as well. And I'm going to sign off now. How do you sign off a podcast? I'm going to sign off this podcast the way my mum signs off her phone calls. Bye-bye, 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 bye-bye.